That is Iraq. And then there's Afghanistan and the possibility of peace there. The big question is, can the bloodshed end? The violence is still there, but there might also be some hope. There's a new push now for peace talks involving the Taliban and the Afghan government. The World's Shirin Jafari reports on where the talks stand and what they mean for the Afghan people.
Last spring, I met a young, energetic businesswoman in Kabul. Narges Aziz Shahi is the owner of the Eye Cafe. When you walk into her shop, the smell of freshly brewed coffee hits you immediately. Clusters of young Afghan men and women chat, nursing steaming cups of tea and coffee.
One of my objectives for coffee shop is to introduce the coffee culture.
Aziz Shahi is one of a growing number of Afghan women who have quietly but defiantly started their own businesses in this male-dominated society.
Being a woman and running such a business is basically not for many people.
When I met her, things were going well for Aziz Shahi. She told me she was getting more and more customers. And what she needed for her business to really grow was stability and security. But there was little hope for that back in the spring.
Road blockages comes to the security situation. Any type of bomb blasts or suicide attacks would happen, so people get afraid and they would like to hang out.
For years, people like Aziz Shahi have yearned for peace in Afghanistan. And now, finally, after nearly two decades of war, there seems to be a glimmer of hope. Hope that opposing sides of the war can come together and talk. How did this moment come about? Let's go back to January last year.
There's no talking to the Taliban. We don't want to talk to the Taliban.
This was President Donald Trump almost a year ago.
There may be a time, but it's going to be a long time.
That long time actually took less than a year.
We're in very strong negotiations in Afghanistan right now.
That was Trump last week.
What appears to have happened this fall is that President Trump received a national intelligence estimate from the intelligence community about Afghanistan that was extremely negative.
Barnett Rubin is an expert on Afghanistan and Pakistan. He served as an advisor to the State Department and the United Nations.
So he said, all right, enough of this. I'm not going to be running for president in 2020 with troops still in Afghanistan. We have to have a plan to get out.
To have a plan to get out, Trump appointed Special Envoy Zalmay Khalilzad. He's Afghan-American and a former diplomat with years of experience in Afghanistan and Iraq. His job is to get the Afghan government and the Taliban to come to the negotiating table, something that's been especially hard to achieve in the past.
The Taliban claim they are fighting the United States, not the so-called puppet government that it has installed. The Afghan government says they're not really fighting the Taliban. They're fighting against Pakistan, which is giving a safe haven to the Taliban. And neither was really prepared to talk seriously to the other.
But in the past few weeks, the Afghan government and the Taliban have been signaling that they're interested in talking. Taliban representatives met with State Department officials in Qatar, the small Persian Gulf country where the group has a political office. And President Ashraf Ghani appointed a 12-member negotiating team that consists of men and women to represent his government. So far, they're not in direct talks, but all of this has created a sense of optimism and anxiety.
It's just the beginning of it. It's not yet having a shape. It's just the willingness to begin the talk.
Nader Nadiri is a former advisor to President Ghani. 17 years ago, when the U.S. toppled the Taliban regime, Nadiri participated in talks that led to a new government in Afghanistan. He says looking back, that process felt rushed. There was a push to get an Afghan government up and running fast. He worries the same could happen again today with peace talks.
If you rush in reaching to a conclusion and an agreement out of desperation, that will not give us a sustainable peace.
Nadiri says things like election, freedom of press, women's rights, education for girls, these are some of the hard-won achievements of the Afghan people after the Taliban fell. The Taliban of the 1990s didn't believe in any of that.
The Taliban cannot, on one hand, say that they want to engage in peace, on the other hand, to emphasize on their version of Afghanistan that is not anymore.
Afghanistan has moved on, he says. It's important that the Taliban understand that.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I can hear you.
I wanted to know what Narges Aziz Shahi, the 28-year-old cafe owner in Kabul, thinks of all this. So I called her up on WhatsApp.
I would say yes, this is a time to make peace with Taliban. But I do have this afraid in my mind also that what if the male-dominant society that Taliban had created, they follow that one? Or what if they put some criteria that females cannot work outside the home?
When the Taliban was in power, they did put severe restrictions on women. So Aziz Shahi has reason to be worried. But for now, she's focused on her business. She tells me since we last met, she's opened up a second cafe in Kabul. It's the kind of place where you can grab lunch, sip coffee, play pool, and read a book.
So we have a small library, and people who like more music, and people who like playing snooker. For the fast food, we have Italian pizza.
Aziz Shahi hopes that the Taliban, the U.S., and the Afghan government can come up with a peace deal. She wants to see an end to the bloodshed. But she also hopes that somewhere in the documents they sign, there's a line that guarantees the rights of women like her. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.